Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Thanks for having me, Pastor Nathan. It's always good to be here with family, with friends, and I do say that. We are family, even though I'm in Jersey a lot of the time, but great things are happening in our church family. And we're all in the same sermon series. What you preach here, we preach as well in New Jersey, also in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, where I snuck out tonight. I was supposed to go with Pastor Adam and Pastor Dottie to Lehigh Valley. But how many of you know, you look at my skin color, I'm a tropical man. And I was not, they went to a hockey game tonight, and I was not going into that hockey game freezing. So I said, look, I'm going to go preach the gospel to my brothers and sisters in New York City. All right, let's dive into this thing. We're in the book of Mark. I love Mark. Mark is like you and I. When you read the book, you think about Mark. Mark didn't start well. It ended up kind of bad. It started off kind of bad, but it ended up great. And that's what I love about our God, about Jesus. It's not how we start, but it's how we finish. And so Mark, when you read the book of Mark, you look into it, you begin to see that this man, his claim to fame right out of the gate was that he fled naked. That's him, naked. Think about that. Bailed on Jesus in this dark moment. And then you see him again later. He's with his cousin Barnabas and Paul. And they're going on their first missionary journey. What does he do? It gets tough. It gets hard. And he bails once again. Anybody ever bailed on Jesus before when it got tough in their life? Begin to turn to the left and to the right. And say, hey, man, I didn't sign up for this. Once again, he comes around. They're on their second missionary journey. And this is where it got crazy because Paul and Barnabas were tight. They were good friends. And all of a sudden, he says, I want to bring Mark again. I want to try it out a second time. And they get into this heated battle. And because of the fight, it was so intense that they broke up, Paul and Barnabas. How would you like to be known to break up the dream team? But what I love also about our God is a God of second and third chances. He'll come and find you. And I love people that are willing to go and find those that are broken, that are hurt, that are lost, that are confused, that need God. Maybe those that have been given up on. And here comes Peter. And Peter gets Mark and begins to disciple him, gets him right. And Mark gets it. When he gets it, you know, he goes and he begins to do great things for Jesus. And here it is. He begins to pen this letter because he spent time with Mark. And the beauty of it is he wasn't even part of the Big 12. But he made the story. And I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants you and I to be in that story as well. He wants us to be a part of that. Chapter 1, it opens up and it begins to talk a little about this man by the name of John the Baptist. And what I love about the book of Mark comes out swinging. It's not like the other Gospels. It's not like Matthew. It's not like Luke where it eases in. But no, you hear about this man by the name of John the Baptist. It said he was coming in the spirit of Elisha with power, with anointing, with authority. And he got down to business and he was calling people to repentance. And then we see Jesus show up on the scene and John the Baptist says, here he is, the Lamb of God, the one that's going to take away our sins. I can't even stoop down to untie his sandals. That's how powerful and mighty he is. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. And tonight, that's what I'm going to talk about is power, not fake power, not talk power. I'm talking about the real power of God that will deliver you, that will set you free, that will turn your life around. And if you believe tonight, I promise you this, you came in one way, but you're going to leave another. And so this Jesus on the scene and he gets up and the heavens open and God says, man, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Gets out of there and the spirit drives him into the wilderness. And one thing we learned about also is that there's all of us are going to have a wilderness experience because Jesus is going to make sure that we can see what's down inside of our heart. Are we going to follow him? Are we going to be there with him in our dark moments of life? Are we going to continue? Jesus fought the devil and got out of there. Comes out on the scene and begins to minister the word of God. And you begin to see that Jesus has authority to call people into their destiny. He called those disciples, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He has authority over sickness. He begins to heal people. Begin to see that he has power to do great things. And as we get ready to go into chapter 5, what I love about chapter 5 is this about the power of God. One of the names of God is Elohim. And Elohim is not just a word of just a God that can to talk about, but it's demonstration of power. In the beginning, God created something out of nothing. And so in chapter 5, as we go here tonight, It opens up with about a man in a bad place, and he's demon possessed. And Jesus comes to this man, and he begins to walk up to him. And as soon as the man sees him, it says that the spirits in him begin to cry out, "Why have you come to torment us, Son of God?" And Jesus stops him and says, "Hush, be quiet." There's something that we learned about in a couple other chapters called the Messianic promise, or the secret, excuse me, the Messianic secret. And the secret was this, is that Jesus didn't want people to know who he was, because he didn't want to start an uprising against Rome, and he didn't want to cause conflict with those Pharisees and Sadducees. So he'd always tell these spirits to be quiet, hush. Or when he did a miracle, he would tell somebody, "Don't go tell anybody. It's not my time yet." And this man, full of legions, it said legions, 6,000 devils. That's a lot of devils. A lot of devils. And it said that, man, people could hear this man crying in the tombs at night. He was bound by chains. He was bound up, cutting himself, going through dark moments and dark times. And I'm here to tell you, saints, when you're not in your right mind, you do crazy things. In society today, they're giving you all these pills to calm this down and calm that down. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work without the power of God. Cutting himself. I do a lot of high school ministry, and these kids would self-mutilate themselves because of the pain and the torment of life. And this man was in pain. What I love about Jesus is this. Jesus is merciful, and he wants to help people. And when he comes to this man, he sees him tormented, and Jesus is looking at him. And this is what I know about our God, is that he's not created us to be that way. That's not him. That's not who he is. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 4:20. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but is living by God's power." It's just not talk. See, Jesus spoke the word, but he also demonstrated with the power by backing it up. He said what he did. And the beauty of this is that when he spoke to this man and he ministered to this man, something supernatural took place. It said that the demons came out of him. And when those demons came out of this man, they fled into the pigs, and they went into this water, and they drowned. And this is what I want us to get, is there's a word that this power describes. It's called dynamite, or dunamis power. And this power is significant because it's not about just hitting the person, but it always affects those around them. See, when the power of God comes to your life and it changes you, it's not just for you, it's for those around you. People are watching to see if God is real. They're always coming saying, "Pastor, show me a miracle." And I'll say, "You know what? Look at this man. Look at this woman that was living one way, but now they're living another." The power of God. And it's real, and it's available for you tonight. Demon possessed. The scripture verse says in Luke 10, 18 and 19, it says, "Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you." Say all. All means all. There's no power that God can't conquer. There's no darkness that God can't conquer. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you find yourself like this demoniac man, bound up in whatever's the past or whatever's got you chained up, the things of the past. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if you trust God, and you believe, just like this man did, you too can be free. But freedom costs you. In Mark 5:15, it says, "When they came to Jesus, people, they saw the man who had been possessed by this legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." When you get right with God, when there's a miracle, it shakes people. People remember how you and I used to be, what we used to do, how we used to live. And now all of a sudden, it scares people. How in the world did you go from living one way and now living another? It's the power of God. People are afraid. You know, I had this story when I was a youth pastor. And this young girl would come out to these meetings, and she was in goth. And I don't, you know, talk a lot about this stuff, but she was in witchcraft. And she would come out, and all the kids, you know, they're wearing their normal garb, and she'd come out in all black. And she had a little girlfriend that she'd bring with her that was a witch. And they would brag and boast about it. And so one night these young kids came to us and as pastors, and they said, "Pastor, this girl over here, she says she's a witch and she's bound up in this wicked stuff and she's going to do all these things. What should we do about it?" And I did like every other man of God would do. I just say, "Hey, look, why don't y'all go pray for her, because I'm not messing with no devils tonight." And you know what's so funny is that if you just believe in the name of Jesus, something supernatural can happen. And so these little girls, these little teenage girls went over and they shared just a little bit of the word. And this little girl was like, "Okay, I'll pray." And they laid hands on her and she repented of her wicked ways. She repented of all the things that she was doing. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. At the same moment, she said, "I heard you guys mumbling something in the corner over there. What was that you guys were doing?" "Oh, you're talking about, we were praying in the spirit. Can I have that?" "Yes, you can. All we got to do is just lay hands on you and you ask God to fill you and he'll do it." Okay. Raised her hands, laid hands on her. Power of God hits her. She begins to pray in her tongue, heavenly prayer language. The next morning she comes to school. Nails painted, toes painted, flower dress on, walks in and everybody's pointing. What happened? What happened? How did you go from that, what you used to do and how you used to be, to that right there? People were freaking out. The principal called us into the office. The coaches came in. What did y'all do to this girl? The mother's mom got mad. Everybody, it was an uproar in the school because this girl is now in her right mind. And see, the problem of this story was the people were angry because when those pigs went in the water, it messed up their financial provision. It messed some things up. So now they're more concerned about the pigs and the loss of finances than this man that has been tormented and is now in his right mind than being set free for Jesus. God is a God of miracles. And I don't care what you've gone through in life. You could have dabbled in that stuff, opened yourself to that stuff, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you have the ability just to believe in the name of Jesus, you too will be free. You'll be free. Jesus was a rock star. And everywhere Jesus went, the crowds followed. And so now after he drove the devil out of this man and got him in his right mind, he said, "You know what? Go tell her. Go tell the people. I want you to let people know what I've done. This is okay." And he begins to move and here comes the crowds. And the crowds are pressing. And then we come to another person, this woman with the issue of blood. And the reason I want to drive home this is that God has the power over sickness and infirmities and diseases. And so this woman here, it says that, man, she has spent all her money. She's has this blood that the doctors can't cure. Nothing can help her. And if you know anything about the Old Testament, if a person has sickness that is incurable, they're considered unclean and you must be isolated. And the key to the enemy is that he loves to isolate you and I to keep us away from the people of God in our dark moments. But how many of you know when you're desperate, when you're tired of living that life, you're tired of going through hell, it doesn't matter what people say, what people think, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my miracle. And see, God moves at faith. He's drawn to faith. If you would show up at your Connect group, if you would show up to church, if you would show up to places, God will meet you where you need to be met. He's merciful. He's merciful. And the beauty of God is this, is that she sat there and said, "You know what? I don't have anything left to do but go find Jesus. I've heard about Jesus." Anybody here tonight heard about Jesus? Has anybody heard that he's able? See, God is the God of Iraq. And you know those things that are going on in Iraq? You're hearing miracles. You're hearing miracles in China. You're hearing miracles down in Latin America. You're hearing all these things that God is doing. Why not New York? Same God over there, same God here. But he's drawn to faith. And this woman, man, she could care less. I'm pressing through the crowd. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what I feel like. I'm getting my breakthrough. I'm getting my miracle. And she pressed through and grabbed the hem of his garment, and that power came to her, and she was healed. See, healing's available to those that want it. There was a time in my life where something was told to me about my son. And I'll never forget it. He was still in the womb. And the doctor pulled him up on the little ultrasound and said, you know what? I'm looking at something, and according to what's going on in the body, it's not looking good. And I don't think he's going to make it. And I remember getting that report. He's not going to go full term. And I said this, I got real quiet, because that initial shock is real. It's fear. Fear comes. But I grabbed a hold of my Bible, and I began to speak those Abrahamic covenant promises back to God. You're a loving God. You're a kind God. You're a merciful God. You're sovereign, and I trust you. And I know you're the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm believing that your word says this, where two or more gather together in your name, you're there in the midst. And if I agree on something, you'll do it. And I went and I found me a brother that I knew that would lock in with me. And I said, you need to come over here, and I need you to pray over this young boy in this womb, because this is a gift from God. And I'm believing that my son is going to go full term. He's going to make it. Not only did it do that, I went and grabbed some brothers and sisters in Christ that I knew that were about praying. People that were going to lock in with me for the long haul. And when you need a miracle, I don't need people around me that don't believe. I need people with me that will stand with me, that will cry with me, that will pray with me, that will fast with me, that will do whatever it takes to see the breakthrough. And man, I found me some people. This woman of God, about 60 years old, she said, you know what, well, we're going to adopt this son by the Spirit of God, and we're going to pray him on in. And these women prayed, and they cried out to God. They made sure every week when I'd go in there to get that ultrasound, man, is he okay? I give him the report. He's fine. He's doing well. 6 months. 6 months I locked into praying, crying out. And you know what? That brother, he didn't just go full term. They had to go get him, because he didn't want to come out. 13 years later, son sitting there, full of joy, playing a sport he loves to play. And I always go back to what this Bible says, if you just believe. If you just believe. Sometimes you may have no hope. Sometimes you may feel unclean and isolated. But man, if you could just touch his garment, if you could just get there and stir up that faith and press in the doubt and unbelief, you'll see the breakthrough. He goes on, and during this crowd, all this craziness is going on, and now we begin to realize that he has power over death. Now, when I read this and I'm studying this, it took me a little while to comprehend. He has power over death. Jairus is coming and has a need. His daughter is dying. She's sick, and I need you to come to my house and make her well. And on the way, she passes. He walks into the house, and there's weeping and wailing and chaos. And when stuff breaks out in your life, you got to find people of peace. You got to find people that can calm the storm. You got to get around people that are able to sit there and say, you know what, it's going to be all right. When turmoil hits your life, you got to have the right men, the right women around you that'll walk you through the storm. And so Jesus did what I love. He started kicking people out. You need to go. You need to go. And you need to go. See, when you're desperate and you need a miracle, some people got to go. I'm sorry. I don't need no dead weight. I need some people of faith that are going to help me go where I need to go and be where I need to be and help me become the man or woman of God that I'm called to be. I'm not afraid to cut some people off. See, I love to be with people that are like-minded, people that are nation shakers, people that want to do some stuff, They don't want to sit there and grumble and complain about this, that, and the other. No, they're kingdom-minded. They want to do some things for God. They want to go somewhere. They want to see their brother, their sister, somebody get right with God. Those are the people that I like to be around. Yeah. Those are the people. And so Jesus kicked them all out. You need to go clear the atmosphere. Because anytime a miracle is getting ready to take place, I need the right spirit. I need the right atmosphere. And here it comes. He grabbed his boys, the big three, Peter, James, and John. And we're going to get ready. We're getting ready to get busy. Because I know these men got faith. Is there any people that have faith tonight? Is there any people that believe God, that come hell or high water, he's able? He's able. Saints, God's going to do a miracle tonight. There's some things he wants to do with you. When I was preaching last week, this message in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania, people knew, man, this is my time to get my breakthrough. This is my time to break those chains off of me just like the demoniac. This is my time to get the healing that I need just like the woman with the issue of blood. This is my time to get rid of this spiritual death and come back to life and be the man or woman that God has called me to be. I'm not talking about a physical death tonight. I'm talking about some of you are walking around here dead in spirit. Man, you're talking about what you did back in 2001, 2005. No, we're talking about it's 2018. I'm talking about stir that faith up right now. Stir that faith up right now. Break off the apathy. Break off the complacency. Break off the familiarity. Stop talking about what you used to do. Talk about what you're doing right now. That's the God I'm talking about is going to meet you where you need to be met tonight. That's where he is. He's the same. And that's what I love about Jesus is he's drawn to faith. He's drawn to faith. You know, getting here to New York and New Jersey, it took faith. But I had the right men and I had the right women around me to help me get here. If it hadn't been for Pastor Ron, Pastor Adam, Bruce and the team, loving me, encouraging me, my faith was down. But you know what? I had brothers and sisters to ride with me to see the breakthrough. And the breakthrough's happening. Things are turning. You just got to stay the course. You got to press through and you'll get the miracle you need to get. He has the power over death. He has the power over sickness, and he has the power over infirmity and diseases. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what I need you to understand is that if it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is that work in our mortal body, giving us life, we too can go out and do the things that he's calling us to do. It says in 1 John 4:4, and I'm closing. It says, greater is he that is in me, the greater one, than he that is in the world. There's a lot of nonsense out there right now. There's a lot of things people are saying that you need to do this and do that. A lot of hocus pocus. You got the Hollywood medium. You got the Long Island medium. You got all these types of things going on, the supernatural. But I'm talking tonight about the real power. The power that will change your life and keep it changed as long as you continue to walk the walk. Real power. And so tonight, what I want to do this is because there's faith in the building tonight. I can feel it. I can feel faith. I can feel you leaning in tonight saying, you know what? That word that he's preaching is for me. It's for me. And I don't know who's to the left of you, to the right of you, in front of you, or behind you. But if you are desperate tonight and you need a breakthrough, then I'm going to ask you boldly, without even flinching or being afraid, to get out of your seat and come down front. Because we're going to minister to you tonight. Tonight is your night. Yeah, you could have stayed home and watched the NBA, this all-star game. You could have stayed home and did what you wanted to do. But God drew you here tonight. He drew you here tonight. And do not allow somebody or something or fear keep you from your breakthrough. Don't do it. And so I'm going to pray. And if you're desperate, just like she was, let go of the shame and let go of the guilt and the condemnation and say, you know what, tonight's my night. It's my night. I could care less because I'm through living like hell and I need God to do a miracle in my soul. In my soul. Father, in Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, God, I thank you that you're the healer. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I thank you tonight that the Lord, this is not just a physical healing, but Lord, this is emotional, financial, relational. I'm asking, do a miracle tonight, God. There's a lot of hurt and pain in this room tonight. People holding on by a thread. But I know this, that you heard every cry. And you saw every tear. And you were there. You were there when that word was hurled at them to try to break them. You were there when that man or woman walked away from them in the dark moment of their life. You were there when they got that negative report. You were there. But Lord, I thank you that you're here tonight to rearrange some things and make people whole. And so if that's you tonight, you say, Pastor, I need my miracle. I want to lay my head down at night in peace, because when I wake up in the morning, it's a storm. If you got faith and you're saying, God, meet me where I need to be met, would you please get out of your seat and come stand down here so we can pray for you all over this place. This is your night. This is your night. Don't let shame, don't let fear, don't let who's ever beside you. This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. I know there's more out there. Don't worry about who's here. Don't worry about who's to the left or to the right of you. This is your night to get your breakthrough. The altar's open. You come here, and I'm believing with you and this team that you're going to get your miracle. Anybody else? Tonight. Tonight's your night. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. This is between you and God. We're just going to stand in agreement with you for your miracle. Anybody else here tonight? Father, we thank you. We thank you right now in Jesus' name for all the things that you've done and you continue to do. And so, Lord, we're just going to lay our hands right now upon these people, just like your word says in John chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. You said to call on the elders of the church. And you said to anoint them with oil. And you said that the prayer of faith will bring healing. And so, Lord, we're going to anoint people with oil right now. And we're going to believe you, God, for your miracle, for the breakthrough. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.